Final case for argument this morning is 21-1998, Soundview Innovations v. Hulu. I think we're ready, Mr. Kelman, whenever you are. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The District Court committed two fundamental errors of claim construction. First, the Court found prosecution disclaimer based not on the concurrency distinction that the applicants literally underlined throughout their remarks, but rather on a same or single buffer distinction that the District Court believed was necessary to overcome the prior art. Second, while acknowledging that there was a live claim construction dispute over the meaning of the term buffer, the Court declined to construe that term buffer, and instead jumped directly to the infringement question, holding that anything that's called a cache, regardless of the actual definition of the claim term, buffer, could not meet that claim definition.
I don't want to jump you ahead of the game, but let me just go to the end of the story and others can go back to the beginning, which is that assume hypothetically we were to just agree with you on the disclaimer point, but agree with you on the buffer cache point. It's a claim construction issue. I mean, what do we do with that? Do we send it back so that we say the court was wrong, at least as far as it went, and that it should start over and do a detailed claim construction on buffer to fix this? I mean, we don't go right to trial, even though it was summary,
Well, I think, so let me take both of those pieces, Your Honor.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. As you said, if you disagree with the first part, but you do find that something's wrong, with the second part, with the second construction on buffer, I think this court can and should determine what the plain and ordinary meaning of buffer is, and we've offered that as temporary storage for sending and to send and receive data, and then send that back to the district court, not for further claim construction proceedings, but actually at that point we would go to trial on that issue. I would urge you to find with us on both of the claim construction issues, but there's no reason to remand for further proceedings on claim construction. That issue was joined at the district court. Both parties briefed the term buffer extensively through initial briefing on it and then supplemental briefing on that point as well. The issue here is fully briefed in front of Your Honors, and punting it back, or sort of sending it back to district court to go further without any guidance as to what that construction should be is essentially a redundant exercise. I mean, Your Honors have all of that in front of you right now.
Well,
I understand.
She said, and if the problem is that she said that a cache can't be a buffer. Right? I mean, that's
the district court said. Well, the district court said that something called a cache, it didn't even look at what the accused product was. Right? So something called a cache cannot be the claim term buffer.
Couldn't there be a more nuanced view of that? Even if we reject that as being overly broad, isn't there a more nuanced construction that might inure if you look at the specification, that you look at the use of the words? Further clarity, in other words, before we jump right to a trial, which is not a plain construction venue, but rather just to discern infringement.
Right. So maybe I wasn't clear, and I apologize, Your Honor. The term buffer has a plain and ordinary meaning. We have laid that out in the specification. It's temporary storage for sending and receiving data. That term, if construed, there is sufficient evidence, construed that way, according to what we believe the plain ordinary meaning is, there's sufficient evidence in the record for us to go to trial on that construction. In other words, I'm asking this court to say that is the construction of the term buffer based on the intrinsic evidence and the extrinsic evidence that we've supplied. And then that gets remanded, that would get remanded with that construction to the district court. At that point, what's left for the district court to do is to go to trial on that issue with that actual construction. I get then to compare at trial the accused product, which happens to have a thing called a cache, but acts exactly like the buffer if construed correctly. And
was the other side's summary judgment submission at any stage on paper or otherwise, did it include saying even under your view of what buffer means, the two particular caches at issue that you accuse of are not that as a summary judgment matter?
Even under the claim. Well, there's this extra little argument that appears in the brief here that was part of a supplemental. It wasn't the main, there wasn't their claim construction argument, but it has to do with this concept of allocating a buffer. Right, I think that may be what Your Honor is referring to.
No, actually, but that is an additional possible a possible impediment to getting to trial that the district court hasn't ruled on.
Well, right, and I think Your Honors don't need to say go to trial. Right? I mean, that's not what we're asking for. We're asking for a reversal of the de facto or really non-existent claim construction decision that the district court made. Which essentially is a negative limitation, but not a negative limitation of it can't be this structural thing or this functional thing. It's just, it can't be that word. And instead send back to the district court an actual definition of the term buffer. I can argue then at the district court whether or not the allocating was ripe or not ripe at that point and whether or not we should go to trial. So I'm sorry if I jumped the gun a little bit on that, but to be clear, the record here is perfectly sufficient to determine that what the definition of the term buffer is. As I said, temporary storage for data being sent or received, and that's perfectly joined. And that's all we would ask on that point. Now, obviously, I do want to talk. I don't want to go.
I did jump the gun too.
Okay.
So you can go back to disclaimer.
But let me on that second point, on the buffer question, Your Honor, if in fact the court finds that there is that the definition of the term buffer is what we say it is, there is robust evidence. We've cited it in our briefs. I can cite it again here that the accused product does in fact meet that limitation.
Well, we are certainly not going to decide that here.
Right. So all I'm saying is that there's no alternative grounds being offered for affirmance here that's been briefed. That's all I'm saying on that point. Okay, so let me then, if Your Honor, it's okay, I can move back to the original, unless you want to continue to talk about buffer. I think maybe importantly, identified the two errors. One is the buffer error that we were just talking about. One is the prosecution disclaimer. Inherent in the discussion we were just having is that reversal on either one of those grounds is sufficient to vacate the summary judgment award and send it back. I've already explained to you why on the buffer point that is the case with respect to the prosecution disclaimer, which we'll call sort of adding the same buffer limitation or the one buffer limitation. Below, Hulu has conceded. It's in the record. They conceded on summary judgment. It's at page appendix 3595 to 96, specifically paragraph 17, that there are, in fact, allocated buffers, their word, using it directly from the claim. And then, therefore, if you don't have the same buffer requirement, we again go back to the district court. This court can't affirm in that circumstance. So now why are we right on the issue of the...
You might even seek summary judgment of infringement.
I think we would have.
If that concession is what you say it is.
I think we are entitled to that, Your Honor. But again, that's not a decision that we need make at this point. All we are asking
for... Right, but on the disclaimer, I guess, would you mind doing this? Focus not on the paragraph with the underlining that you want to talk about, but the previous paragraph with the other underlining, the one that I guess this is...
The abstract, Your Honor?
The abstract where you underlined, once one of its buffers is consumed, which I assume means emptied, by, is that right? The consumed means emptied out?
Yes, okay. I think so, Your Honor.
By the associated media stream client. Why doesn't that communicate that what you were pointing out that was that that buffer in the ring of buffers doesn't get refilled until it's done? That is, that you're focusing there on a single buffer because you're doing this in a context in which there's this kind of, I don't know if the word round robin or something is right. A gets emptied out. When A is done getting emptied out, B gets emptied out, and then C and D and E, and if that's what you have, then A needs to be refilled by the time E is done. Right? That's the deadline. That's the deadline, right? Isn't that?
Yes, there is this concept of that ring being done. I don't know if Your Honor is suggesting this or not, but we would disagree that there's any suggestion in the DeMoney reference, that the abstract of which is cited on Appendix 4411, that there's any suggestion there at all that there is a concurrent downloading, which is sending actually to the client. It's an odd word. Right? Downloading to the client and retrieving from another source. That DeMoney suggests that at all.
Suppose that if I read DeMoney, I came away with the really quite strong conviction that most reasonably read, it was talking about exactly that kind of concurrence across the entire ring of buffers, but not within a single buffer. Not what I think you suggest, that it was not saying we will do loading only during lulls in any activity throughout the ring. Then why wouldn't I read this underlining in the abstract to be communicating the very point that I think Judge Cronstadt inferred
was being conceded.
I'm
sorry, I didn't mean to speak over you. Because I think that assumes the conclusion in some ways. The case law tells us that we're looking for a clear and unmistakable disclaimer. So Your Honor is pointing me to something that the applicant said, right, in the sense of underlining.
I'm trying to understand exactly what a reasonable skilled artisan would understand that language to be communicating to the examiner.
Correct. And we agree that that is, in fact, the test. And so focusing on that language, first of all, doesn't say anything about the round robin that you suggested, or that in fact there would be this simultaneous, that particular underlying language. It just says that one of the buffers is consumed. But let's assume for a moment that somehow you can go into the text and do that. It says here once, right? It's not just one of the buffers is consumed by the associated media stream client. Okay. It's once, right? It's the concept of timing that is done. Let's take the assumption that the applicant believed, that there was a concurrent downloading and retrieving among the ring of buffers. So in other words, while buffer one was downloading, buffer eight was retrieving. Let's assume. What would the applicant's remarks look like in that context? Well, they wouldn't be underlining anything related to concurrency, because under that theory, there's concurrency both in the DeMoney reference and in claim 16 of the 213 patent. There would be no reason to ever emphasize that at all. Instead, what the applicant would be emphasizing is the concept of the same buffer or one buffer, not with respect to the money, but with respect to the 213 patent, right? The whole idea of the distinction that Hulu thinks is there is that there's one buffer that does everything in the 213 patent, and in the money, the reference, there are multiple buffers, but that there's still the concurrency. That would have been the underlining throughout all of the remarks. I don't think you can take one remark completely out of context and not have the rest of it. Remember what's going on here in the prosecution history. In the prosecution history, the entire element, the entire claim element here, which is concurrently retrieving a remaining portion, that entire element, which doesn't even mention a buffer at all, that element was added to overcome the money. It exclusively talks about the concept of concurrency. If the money actually disclosed concurrency, or if the applicant thought, right, because we're trying to figure out what was the applicant saying to the public, if the applicant believed and was saying to the public, this key distinction here is one buffer versus multiple buffers, because both are concurrent, then the entire applicant's arguments make no sense at all, because it doesn't say in there anything about same buffer or one buffer in the comments, and it continuously underlies concurrently, which would not be a point of distinction between the two. So I agree that in isolation, you might look at this underlying piece, go into the money and try to think about what the money actually says and discloses, which is debatable and hotly debated, and maybe infer that that's what the applicant means, but easily you could think the other way as well, that the applicant wasn't trying to draw a distinction over how many buffers there are, but that the focus was on the word once, especially when taken in the context of all of the other elements. I think it's unfair to the words of the applicants themselves to take one line out of context, read it through Hulu's hindsight analysis here of what it is they want to disclaim, because that's what we're doing, and just forgetting about everything else. As the Delaware court said, it was obvious that he was trying to draw the concurrency distinction. I see I'm way into my rebuttal.
Let's hear from the other side, and we'll restore a little time. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, and may it please the court. I'm Brett Williamson, counsel for the Appley Hulu LLC. I want to take the second issue first, but I'll move fairly quickly to responding to appellant's arguments on the summary judgment order that found no issue of fact that the accused products did not meet the claim limitation as construed, and this whole issue of the cash. But on the preliminary issue, if you will, of whether there was a clear and unmistakable disavowal of claims scope, Judge Toronto, you asked the question precisely as we briefed and as is the case. The underlining is entirely consistent with our view of what was being distinguished, and that includes the underlining in the applicant's statement to the examiner, as well as the underlying from the quote to the abstract of the reference that was being distinguished. The underlying specifically says in the abstract to the money, once one of its buffers is consumed by the associated media stream client, which as appellant has already said means once it's emptied, then goes back into that queue. And so of course, and logically, and consistent with our position, the underlying in the applicant statement is talking about what happens in that specific buffer. While concurrently retrieving a remaining portion of the requested SM object from another helper server or a content server, concurrently empties and fills the buffer, while the demoney reference teaches filling the buffer only after the buffer is empty. So this is a false dichotomy between serial and continuous. It's all about one buffer in context. There's nothing inconsistent between the view that the district court took and this disclaimer.
I think Mr. Kelman ultimately said something like the following. It may be consistent with that it might be possible to read this passage in the prosecution history, and let's stipulate for purposes of this question that that it is possible, but that's not enough. It has to be actually clearer than that to find a disclaimer. And among the reasons that it's not clear, I think he said, is if that's the point we were trying to make, we would have written it differently, underlined differently. I mean, written the part that it wrote and underlined differently in the part that it quoted.
The question, though, from this court's opinion in technology properties, for instance, in many other cases, isn't what the applicant may have done. It's what one of ordinary skill would read the words. And I submit to this court that having read through that case, the trustees of Columbia versus Symantec, and several other of this court's cases that sustained, or I should say affirmed, a district court's decision limiting with a limiting construction, this is clearer than any of those. I mean, these are the words in the applicant's statement. The applicant's invention concurrently empties and fills the buffer, while the DeMoney reference teaches filling the buffer only after the buffer is empty.
It helps that you get by your voice to do some underlining that's not quite there.
But it's no other place in the disclaimer does it discuss multiple buffers when talking about the concurrent process. We think it's very clear that this was exactly the type of clear and unmistakable disavowal of claim scope that the cases review. But I would point this court to its recent case in Aptalis, where the court found that, you know, even in the absence of a clear and unmistakable disavowal, the prosecution history can be evaluated to determine how one of ordinary skill would understand a given claim term. And as we laid out in our papers, it is a singular buffer that's allocated in the claim language. The sole reference to the specification that the applicant used to support the amendment, and remember, this was an amendment made in response to the examiner's 102 rejection. That portion of the specification specifically refers to what's happening just in one of the single allocated buffers. We think that the disavowal is clear here. But let me move on to the cache versus buffer issue. First, the district court here did precisely what numerous district courts whose decisions have ultimately been affirmed by this court did. He took the dispute that the parties had and resolved it. There's nothing in any of the cases cited by appellant, and none that we found, that required a further construction of buffer when it was made clear that the only issue here was whether the claim construction of buffer was limited to just a single buffer being concurrently emptied and refilled. This was an argument that was then raised after the claim construction dispute on summary judgment. And I submit to this court that this is as detailed a district court analysis of a claim construction dispute as you will see.
I did not take Mr. Kelman's point this morning, at least as emphasized this morning, to be a, I don't know, let's call it a procedural point. I think he's making a substantive point about substantive error in the district court's determination that these things called a cache, simply kind of because they were called a cache, can't be a buffer. And he says that's wrong. It certainly isn't persuasive without adopting a definition of what a buffer is, because this isn't a game of words. You need to know what a buffer is to know whether the physical thing that is being called a cache in the two accused devices come under that. And A, that wasn't done, but B, if it is done, he's asking that we actually adopt a claim construction, which he says was fully briefed.
To the extent that that is the argument, that not that it was improper for the district court to not further specifically construe buffer, then I cannot replace what I believe to be clearly a correct analysis by the district court, because that's what the district court did in the opinion. This isn't a case where he said, well, buffer can't be a cache, just because that's not the way cache is used, that's not the way buffer is used. The analysis in the district court's opinion was entirely based on the 213 patent. Multiple instances of buffer and cache being used, not in any time interchangeably, but always distinctly and distinguished. Specifically, the court noted that that a buffer was distinct from a cache or a disk by citing to figure 9.
But what does a cache do in that figure? And this is the column 10 discussion of RTSP, RTP, and I have no idea what those initials mean at the moment, but a particular embodiment. What's the cache doing there?
The cache here is not related to the function in the claim limitation that we're talking about, because that limitation in that one claim, claim 16, is talking about an allocated buffer. So the cache management doesn't have anything to do with what happens in one of the several buffers that are within the cache. It's just, they're two different things. And fundamentally, this, not just in the lexicography of electronic engineers or computer scientists.
And is this, in the accused products, is the thing called a cache doing something like what the figure 9, column 10 cache is doing?
I don't believe that was ever in the record one way or the other. There is some testimony from the witnesses for the CDNs that talk about that there is a function of the cache, and I think that's some of what Appellant's counsel was referring to today. But the 213 patent, the intrinsic evidence, what must be priority in construction, talks about, specifically defines a buffer, one of several memory locations in the main memory of the helper server. A cache in a helper server, and this is undisputed, there's one cache. The cache is the definition of the place where there is memory. And there are buffers that have a specific function within that memory. And the function defined in this patent has them allocated.
Did you just say that a buffer can be part of a cache?
Yes, and we've acknowledged that a cache is made up of many different buffers. But to say that the cache can satisfy the buffer limitation would eviscerate.
So why couldn't a cache be entirely made up of one buffer and therefore be a buffer?
Because it cannot perform. There are multiple buffers in the cache as disclosed in the 213 patent. There's no disclosure of a cache that would be made up of only one buffer. There has to be multiple buffers in order to perform the steps of a streaming system like this. And if you read cache to be the buffer, most of that claim would be meaningless. There's nothing to allocate. You can't allocate a buffer while other buffers are doing different things. That's what this patent is about. It's nonsensical. And we don't think this is a close case, with all due respect. Cache and buffer are two different things with respect to how they're disclosed in the 213 patent. But if there's any suggestion that this court should adopt a construction or give instructions on remand, and we clearly do not think that this case should be remanded, obviously. But the choice that is being urged by appellant, temporary storage for data being sent or received, violates all of this court's instructions regarding claim construction, because it has no support in the 213 patent. It's completely untethered to the 213 patent. They rely on extrinsic evidence. That extrinsic evidence was raised, considered, and rejected by the district court in its opinion. In no sense would it be appropriate to reject the district court's very reasoned and detailed distinction between buffer and cache and adopt a completely extrinsic evidence-based definition of buffer, of temporary storage for data being sent or received, especially in light of the fact that the 213 patent does define buffer as one of several memory locations in the main memory of the helper server. It does nothing to direct one of ordinary skill as to what a buffer is.
What was the, you were just, I think, maybe quoting from
that was appendix 0177, and I believe it's column 10, lines 57 to 60 of the 213 patent. I need my glasses for this.
Let me ask you a question that's unrelated to this while we're looking it up. I see that the claims of 062 patent were dismissed because they're not patentable under 101.
That's correct.
Was that brought up on this patent, the 101 defense?
There was, I do not believe there was a 101 defense to the 213 patent. There were 101 challenges to a couple of the patents. There were originally six patents. I apologize to Your Honor. I don't recall exactly from the history, but as you might imagine, there were several different dispositive steps during the district court litigation, but I do not remember that.
But I just thought if 062 was violated 101, I think this one would too. But I guess it wasn't raised.
I believe that's the case.
Probably because you would like to have it too, right?
So let me finish this point.
Where were you pointing us to?
My notes, I scribbled my notes very quickly. Column 10, lines 57 to 60. It says, the buffer management module manages a pool of buffers in the main memory of a helper server. And then it talks about each buffer containing data to service a client request for an SM object. And that's the data that's downloaded while concurrently being retrieved. So buffer in the operation of the patent, in particular Claim 16, has never been read, was never considered in the specification or in the plan to include cache.
This is part of a particular embodiment. Does the claim at issue here require a buffer management module?
It does not by its terms. It requires allocating a buffer. And so the specification talks about how the buffer then provides the steps. But that is an important part of this claim, and Your Honor, you pointed this out before. I mean, in one of the last remarks that Appellant's counsel made, talked about how, well, we have to just read this limitation. We left out that part of this claim requires allocating a buffer. That is critical. You can't just look at concurrently downloading and retrieving.
But that issue hasn't been decided, right?
Well, the issue of whether or not a cache is being allocated, correct, that has not been decided. But it is important to the first issue we talked about in terms of the clear disavowal. It is not appropriate to look at the amendment that added the limitation of downloading while concurrently retrieving and saying there's nothing about one or two or multiple buffers without reading the part of the claim at the beginning that says allocating a buffer. Unless the court has any questions about the last issue, which was not discussed before, having to do with the Daubert decision, we'll rest on our briefs.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll restore 2 minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I proceed?
Yes, please.
Let me pick up where my colleague just left off. This column 10 citation is under the heading of RTSP, and as Judge Toronto asked, is this part of the claim? It is part of a claim. It is Claim 17. Claim 17 is directed explicitly to this buffer, buffer management and cache management, et cetera. We point this out in the briefing as well. The part of the specification that actually is most directly related to Claim 16 is actually the data transfer rate control, which is at the top of column 8. So any suggestion that we should read what's in column 10 into this claim is taking what's in claim 17 and sticking it into claim 16, where it's just clearly not claimed at all. But sticking to the buffer issue, we still have not heard any construction of the term buffer. Buffer is the only word. Cache is not in Claim 16. Okay. So we don't need a construction of cache.
It is as a verb.
It is as a verb. That is true. And so I was about to say that as part of the intrinsic evidence, right? Cache is as a verb. So it's a buffer for caching, right? To cache. And that is, by the way, intrinsic. The intrinsic evidence talks about a buffer. This is at column 7, lines 20 to 21. A buffer operates as a type of short-term cache. I mean, buffer and cache overlap each other in general, but I think the key point here is that Hulu had an opportunity at the district court to actually proffer construction. They had an opportunity in the briefing. They had an opportunity here. Your Honor was asking the question. We don't have any construction from Hulu. Sending it back to the district court now, for now Hulu to start proposing it, when the issue is completely joined, it's just going to waste resources. We'll be right back here again with either party having one below. The issue is right here, right now. It can be decided. It can be decided on the intrinsic record and the extrinsic record that we supplied. There's no argument in Hulu's briefing or here today that our construction is actually wrong and what it should be instead. It's actually an easy decision for this court.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Both sides. The case is submitted. That concludes our proceeding for this morning.